We're in verses 14 to 26 tonight. Faith that works is our overall arching theme over the entire book of James. And do you remember what we said this means? What does faith that works means?
Faith that changes you.
Faith that changes you, absolutely. Okay?
You can say, I believe, but if you don't change.
Yep, if you don't change, and there's nothing to prove that you are changing, right? So the works side, you know, we know that there are religions and denominations in this world that teach that if you do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, that it's going to gain you access to heaven. We know that to be false, right? God says all of our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. So, but James in this passage says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Okay? And we're going to get into that tonight and what that actually looks like in our personal walk with Jesus, and then how that affects our ministry and relationships with our neighbors and community and people that we rub shoulders with on a daily basis. Okay? So let's read a little bit here. I'm going to get you guys involved tonight. How about that? All right? We're going to start here with Stan. Go Stan to Kim and then on back one at a time as we go. And we're just take a verse apiece, 14 through verse 26. And we'll go all the way across until we're done. If you don't get to read, sorry. We'll figure something else out later. I can give you a sucker. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. Would you like a sucker, Larry? Yeah, it sounds like you would. You were that kid when you were younger, weren't you?
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. I like that about you. And ice cream, absolutely. And then you would behave if you got it, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. All right, Brother Stan, begin reading in verse 14, please.
What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?
If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food,
and one of
Brother Larry, verse 22. James chapter 2, verse 22.
If I'm in James, but
that's okay. We can come back to you too if you can't find it.
Where what chapter?
Chapter 2 and verse 22. It says, do you see that faith?
Yep.
Okay.
You see, he was trusting God so much that he was willing to do whatever God told him to do. His faith was made complete by what he did.
Amen. Emmy?
By his actions, his good deeds.
Amen. Verse 23. Dale, go ahead and finish.
For as the body without the
So faith without works is dead also.
Yeah. So you three ladies get the sucker at the end of the night for not being able to read, all right? I'll make sure we get that, all right? The cool thing about this passage, and I'm sure you've probably heard this preached on multiple times before, which, by the way, did Pastor Billy preach on trials last week at all? I saw something on one of the videos that he was talking about the book of James, and I just wanted to make sure we weren't crossing over. So, okay, no big deal. Anyways, the cool thing about when you study these passages out and you break out each individual word and you understand what the author is really trying to say to these people. Remember, who are they? Who is James writing to? Jewish Christians, right? That are dispersed all over the world. And they're living in an opportunity in life or a season in life where they're actually having to live their faith because nobody else around them believes like they do. Okay? So the whole theme of the book of James being faith that works or that is working is really a better term. It's an ongoing participle. What do participles do, Miss Nancy? Right. And sometimes it's either immediate,
yes,
past tense, but usually future, okay, with ongoing implications, right? And those participles give us an understanding further into the depths of what God's really saying, right, to us. Sometimes we can't just stop at the initial words and try to gain understanding. We have to understand what are they meaning in this context, okay? So, for the sake of our time tonight and the next 20 minutes, because your faith is working to perfect you, or to, better word, mature you, you must put your faith into action. Okay, that's really the purpose of this section. Your faith is working to mature you, so put your faith into action. Okay, we all struggle with actually living our faith, right? That's really like the fallen creature side of this. We all struggle every day with putting our foot in front of the other and actually identifying with the cross of Christ so that people can see that, because we just get into routine. We often sometimes don't wake up in a given morning ready and to go out and to minister and to serve other people and to put our faith into action because we're just human. But we have to work hard at this aspect of it, okay? The first messages that were taught in this book of James that we've gone over have primarily focused putting your faith in God's word, letting trials mature you, and not being partial believers, meaning you don't prefer to be around just a certain kind of person. We talked about that last time in the first part of James 2. But this message completes the thought process of faith that is working and how to prove it. Okay? You mentioned before, faith that works is the process by which you identify and you prove it. You are working it out to show it. Again, it's not for eye service as men pleasers, but you're actually doing it to prove that what God did in your heart to change you from a wicked person and set your feet upon a rock and on a path of purpose, that he's still working, that you are identifying with Christ, and that you are changing to become more like him. This is part of that progressive sanctification process that we all go through. Back when I lived in Ohio, there was a Walmart that I used to go to pretty regularly, and there was somebody standing in line at the tire center where I was working, and I was trying to get a screw out of my tire that had been in there, so I was going in to get a flat repaired, and while in line, a man standing next to me, and I noticed that his workers were moving extremely slow and at their own pace. You could tell they didn't want to be there, and they were going to milk every penny out of their employer for the mere $9 an hour or so that they were making, right? It isn't that just like our society in general, right? We have bred a generation of young adults who do nothing for this country, many times, many do. They feed off the government. They want handouts, never working hard enough to even call themselves citizens of this great nation, yet they have great complaining mouths about when things are not working out in their favor, right? We see this everywhere. It doesn't matter what ethnicity group you're a part of, it's happening everywhere, right? So they feed off the government wanting handouts. They certainly have not put any effort into freedom of this country that they take for granted every day. They're working off the backs of all of those who have gone before, who have fought for the freedom that we have today. Christians do the same thing to God, who gave them freedom of the grace of Jesus Christ by his death on the cross. They don't work for him or even demonstrate a desire to stand for righteousness. They simply exist and call themselves Christians. James has a message for all of us that you may be this kind of Christian. Because your faith is working to mature you, you must put your faith into action to demonstrate the validity of your faith. Is your faith real? That's what works validates. Okay? Being able to demonstrate that I can say I have faith, right? I can say with my lips, even the demons say that God exists. They know it because they're fallen angels that God created. Okay? Even they say that God exists. I can say that all day long, but their actions show the opposite. So what are our actions tonight demonstrating to those that are around us? Do they see Christ in you, or do they see themselves in you? Think about that. Is there no such distinction that when you rub shoulders with the unsaved world that they can't tell a difference between them or you? I'm not talking about personality. I'm talking about a real sense of change, a getting back to basics reality of what Christianity really is. We are saved to serve others, okay? If that's not our mindset, then everything that we do is going to show others that we're really in this life for ourselves just like they are. So if you're on this planet for Jesus, to live for him, let's prove it. So let's look at what this says. Look at verses 14 and to 17 more carefully. Number one, this is faith that comes in action. Okay, faith in action. To prove the validity of your faith, you must express your faith. Okay? Right off the bat, verses 14 to 17 give us that indication. In verses 14 to 16, there's a profitable faith requires physical action. Okay? Let's look at this more carefully. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Why is that a no? Tell me from your experience and what you know about Scripture.
If you have faith, if you believe in Christ, you have the Spirit dwelling in you, that has to produce some output, has to produce some change in you that is not just in your mind, but is expressed outward to the world around you in different ways.
Absolutely. I used to teach my elementary kids in my Christian school that I taught in, and in the public school as well, that when you, whatever you put into your eyes and your ears transfers to your heart and eventually comes out in your hands, right? In some kind of action. So what Brother Stan was saying is if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then my salvation transfers to my heart, which because I have his character inside of me, and I'm becoming more like him as I get to know him more, then the natural outflow should be some type of works that demonstrates my faith. Okay? Just like the natural outflow of the world is, give me all of this sensory stuff that deprives my soul of any spiritual understanding and ultimately goes down into their heart, and what they think about and what they see translates into an internal desire that comes out in some kind of action that's contrary to God's design. That's just the natural process of things. So it's no different for a believer. Okay? We have to do the same thing, but in a spiritual sense. James is telling them, your faith requires some type of physical action. He says, can faith save him? No. If a brother or sister, here's the physical action, right? Notice he uses brother or sister, so he's talking about believers at this moment, right? Is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, meaning go find it yourself, okay? That's essentially what that says. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Nothing, right? Thus, also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So, what is the A plus B equals C here? Faith plus works equals an identification of salvation. Faith without works is dead, meaning there's no life.
Is that why he said you'll know them by their fruits?
By your fruits you shall know them. Okay? It's the same concept. If there's no fruit being produced, and this is where, you know, we can't like literally go up to anybody and say, I don't think you're saved. We know based on fruit, they're probably not. Okay? But when it comes down to it as believers, how many people are in our churches today are dead? If there's no fruit, there's no life. Okay? And that's, again, being said lovingly but firmly, we got to work out our salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Because if you recognize there's a point in your life where you have stopped loving others, it doesn't mean you lost your salvation, okay? But you certainly need to check yourself and say, what am I doing, okay? Yeah, or what am I not doing, okay, to demonstrate this faith, okay? The proof of your salvation will be in the outpouring of your faith. Verses 15 and 16, helping the needs of the others example is a clear example of what we need to be doing, at least at bare minimum, with those who are within our body, okay? And I believe from what I've seen, we're doing that, okay? For the majority of it, we need to do better at some things and continue to do better, and by the time we get here full time, we will do better, okay? But part of that is each one of us as individuals until such time, by the way, commend you for sticking this out for 4 years. Most places would have died, sold their facilities, moved on, okay, closed doors, and recognized that, you know what, we're just going to give up. So I commend you for your faithfulness and for your fortitude to stand here. That's a testament to God's grace in each one of your lives. We know that I'm not giving you praise personally, I'm giving it more to God, but ultimately it is a showing your faith by your works action, right? You definitely want to see God's church go on, but ultimately God's the one that holds the candlestick. So he can choose at any given time to take it away. Let's not give him opportunity to want to take it away. Does that make sense? Okay, and you understand the the depth of that statement, let's not give God an excuse that Foster Creek Baptist Church needs to close its doors, ever. Okay? Let's make sure we're doing what we are called to do, and let's do it together. Okay? I say that because, you know, it's important as part of the understanding this passage. James condemns false faith that has no works. It's simply a boastful faith that requires no physical action and therefore profits nothing. James calls it a worthless faith. You notice he used the words fool, right? I think your translation that you read said worthless or something like that, right? That's what that word means. It is a worthless faith, has absolutely no value if you love not the people that God has called you to love, okay, and showing forth that action. This may seem like a contradiction to what Paul said to the Romans, that faith is all that is necessary for salvation. It's not what Paul was saying. He was saying that was the initial point of salvation. James continues the thought and says, your actions prove your faith. James explains in verse 15 and 16, in these basic scenarios, for a person to come and say that they are in need and you do nothing doesn't prove anything about your faith. Verse 17 says that there's an unprofitable faith is dead. Okay? We've already mentioned that. Yes. Yep. Right. That's an important statement right there. Did you catch that? Okay. Why is that valuable, what she just said? Why is it not good to only look at what we did in the past?
It's active.
Because it's not active anymore, is it? It's in the past. What are you doing now? Now is what God is concerned about.
And you have used so many INGs since you've been standing.
Yep.
For these few minutes that you've been up, and I started to, I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
It's what are you doing
now?
And what you have done.
Yep, absolutely. It what you did in the past is great. Okay? But it's in the past.
But it may need to be repented for.
Exactly. Because let's be honest, folks. Okay? Can I get real with you as a family tonight? We've been in sin. At Foster Creek Baptist Church. I'm not saying people are it. Numbers are not it. We haven't done our job. There are denominations that are close to us in belief that are doing their job and making churches like us look like we're dead. Okay? And you have a period of time. And if I can be so bold, from 2014 to 2022, 8 years, nothing. Okay? And I only know that from the history that I've read and what you all have told me. Okay, I wasn't here. But can you go back in your mind and now see it? And that may mean in our hearts individually, for those of us who have been here for that period of time, we may need to get on our knees and beg God for forgiveness. Lord God, thank you for sustaining us. But Lord God, I'm sorry. We have not done what God has called us to do. Right?
Amen.
So at this stage of the ball game, we've got our feet now pointed back in the direction that we need to go. But not one person in this auditorium tonight or in the morning service is exempt from the responsibility to make that happen. Every person, whether you are a praying individual, because that's what you can do, okay? Or physically coming, and I talked with Norma and Kathleen yesterday about some things that when we get here full-time for our older adults sharing in service or whatever you want to call it, or Maturity Matters group, we are going to be doing things that allow you to be active still in your faith here, because Titus 2 tells me that I need that. Okay? Can we get a hallelujah? All right. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
All right. It's okay to get a little excited about God's word, and we don't have to be in this little cocoon. We've been trained that we keep quiet when God's excitingly moving in people's hearts. Now, we're not going big old charismatic, but I can tell you one thing. If that's real, that's going on in some of those denominations, I can't tell if it's not or not. It's not for me to tell. But we can learn something about how the Spirit of God can move and should move inside of a free-spirited church that is willing to hear God, listen, and obey, repent. Notice God. What does God tell the Israelites over and over and over again? In the book of Deuteronomy, he says, if you bless me, I will bless you. If you curse me, I will curse you. It's that simple. So let's repent of our past, but let's move towards the hope of the future. Okay? By doing these kinds of things, showing your faith by your works in this community, in your neighborhoods, with your neighbors. Okay? And it doesn't really matter where the church is at located. Okay? People will come when we do our job, right, as believers, by loving them the way Christ loved the church and loves the church. Unprofitable faith is dead, so let's repent of our dead living. Okay? But let's go on to the positive. Okay? To prove the validity of your faith, you must demonstrate the evidence of it in verses 18 and 20. The challenge we have is to prove it. Okay? How do we prove it? Well, it can come in various forms. Illustration one comes in verse 18. What does it say? Okay? It says, now the fruit... Oh, sorry, that was the wrong passage. Here we go. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Okay? James is saying, look, I know you can say this verbally, but how are you going to prove it? Okay? Your actions will speak louder than your words. Okay? Illustration 2 comes in verse 19. It says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. There is one God. Even the demons believe and tremble. Okay? They tremble. Because they know, even though they're fighting with an enemy, a boss, okay, Satan, that is deceiving them even, and did deceive them in heaven before they all fell, they know the ultimate end. Okay, they're not omniscient, but they know they're on the losing side, whether you like it or not. They tremble, okay, because God's at work. Faith in action then goes on to being able to understand that once I prove it by my actions, that you must follow the example of what's given to us by examples in Scripture. Abraham and Rahab, okay? Abraham showed everybody his faith in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, took Isaac, right? Went up the mountain and offered him as a sacrifice, and God imputed that to him as righteousness. Meaning that was the point at which Abraham's faith actually became real. Because he proved it, right? He carried out what God had asked him to do, willingly to sacrifice a son that took 99 years to produce. I wouldn't want to give that up. Neither would you. But Abraham did. Rahab was on the opposite end of the spectrum. She had never thought about God being a harlot, but got a hold of her heart during the process of the siege of Jericho, right? And she hid who? Joshua and Caleb in her house, right? And let them down with the scarlet whatever cloak or curtain or whatever rope that it was that they were able to go out and escape. And God says her faith at that moment negated all of her harlotry and made her imputed unto righteousness. Okay? And guess what? Jesus' line comes through her. Ooh. Isn't that cool? So does Ruth's line. Remember the kinsman redeemer aspect in the story of Ruth? How amazing is it that God has chosen to use the base things of this world to confound the wise? Every turn, God has always gone to the little guy that nobody would expect, including David. David's probably one of the greatest examples of this. Even he was considered a man after God's own heart, and he still failed miserably. Okay? But God still allowed the birth of Jesus to come through his line. Okay? What a tremendous action. These examples that are given to us in these two aspects is Abraham proved his faith by obedience. Rahab proved her faith by saving or allowing these men. The act of saving was actually a picture of what God did for you and for me. Saved you from what you deserved, which was damnation, and gave you a way of escape. And she proved the validity of her faith by doing that in that way. Ultimately, folks, we have a responsibility. Right? When we look back at it and we look at what God has done in our imperfect lives, right, to make us become more like him, sometimes I think we forget how much God has had to do to change me from my wicked ways, because we think somehow we've arrived because we've grown up maybe in Christian circles. And we've been around. That's why those of us who have grown up in this Christian environment, in this bubble, so to speak, we often probably struggle the most out of a lot of believers to live our faith. Would you agree with me on that? Okay, we've lived it. And to actually be able to identify with Christ and now live it with a passion and a desire that should have been there when I was a kid, growing up in it, but we were lulled to sleep because it was all about Bible stories and knowledge and gaining all this knowledge, which was great to a degree. We had to have the knowledge, but the knowledge never translated to our hearts to produce a working faith. And now we've got a whole generation, two generations worth of impotent Christians that can't stand on their own two feet. In a world like what these Jewish Christians are living in, that don't know how to stand on their own two feet in a godless world. It's no It's no reason when we shouldn't wonder how we got here. We're at fault. The people that I grew up with to a degree are at fault. My leaders, because we were taught that this box of things and how I look and how I my hair and the material and all of these insignificant things make me godly. That is false. I wanted to say that to my Christian school principal when he sat me down and told me when I was pulling my kids out of the Christian school, he said, well, you know that you're actually going to have to be a parent to your kid because your kids are going to be influenced and changed so bad by the public school system. And I looked at him, I said, I know. I'm good with that.
But you are a parent too.
Exactly. But the whole point of that conversation was he wanted to tell me, and what he was telling me was, the Christian school was the only way my kids were going to turn out right.
That's right.
In their head. When who was in charge of my kids before the Christian school came about? God and then me. No third party has any other responsibility. They're just add-ons that I call gravy that God pours on top of the mashed potatoes to give you some extra flavor, okay, for a bland vegetable that without salt or sour cream or garlic powder tastes pretty nasty, okay, unless you go to McDonald's and get it in a fry, okay? Long story short, you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to belabor it. But you can tell I'm kind of passionate about this, right? We are behind the eight ball, and we got to start this process when we get here. And now, you don't have to wait till we get here in July. You can start doing this now in your own homes by praying that God would give you a fire in your belly that's insatiable for the people that are around you every day. God, let me see somebody. Help me see somebody today that needs you that I can help. Lord, I repent of my past failures. I don't want to be that lazy Christian ever again. I want to be a spirit-filled, spirit-led individual that has a design and a purpose that you can use. Whatever capacity you've given me to do, will you do it through me, Lord? And then watch God work.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay? So I promise you we're going. Yeah, go ahead.
Of course, my son also went to school for a while. I took him out. But I know this in high school, public high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I get it. Yep. Yep.
And the coach.
Yep.
If we could walk around there and pray. So I thought maybe the history teachers, the English teachers, and all those would come out.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the chemistry teachers, the biology teachers. It was amazing.
Yep.
They all came out. And we walked around the building, out there in the where they played football.
Yeah. Right.
And we prayed.
Amen.
Public school. I'm trying to make that point.
I know.
And when we would get back in school, I put scripture on the board all the time. You think somebody was walking in my room? Ooh, she has scripture on the board. First of all, I had sense enough not to put, like,
the reference. Exactly.
I just wrote it. If they didn't know the Bible, they wouldn't know what was on that board.
But you were giving them truth.
That's right. But that's what the kids did.
Yep. Absolutely. We look at these opportunities and we have to just say, Lord, I'm sorry, but Lord, let's move. And I'm ready. Okay? Let's close in prayer tonight and we can go enjoy the rest of our evening. Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word. We thank you for how it's dividing asunder to the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Lord, I pray tonight that this just practical message would dive so deep and take such great deep root that we could see an abundant change happen here at Foster Creek Baptist Church with mature believers that desire to see God do a work. Lord, we're just begging you, do what we can. We are just your servants. And I pray that you would bless us with these opportunities one at a time for your glory and for the benefit of the gospel influence here in Hanahan and surrounding. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.